And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com, where you can view the podcast, listen to the audio or video forms, and of course in your favorite podcast app. We've got a busy Wednesday coming up for you this morning. A lot to get into, a lot to cover, predominantly here locally across southeastern North Carolina and the state as a whole. And we'll, of course, begin with all the talk yesterday. A massive building explosion in Midtown Wilmington. This is after a gas leak caused that building to explode. Some remarkable video being posted on social media. This video this morning, which shows the entirety of the explosion from the parking lot of Bob King Automotive, is posted by Kirk Rogers on Facebook, and it shows the moments in which a gas leak turned into a fireball situation, causing the building that was soon to open as a veterinary clinic, causing that building to be completely destroyed. You can see the debris looking like it being lofted hundreds of feet in the air with that massive fireball explosion. All of this taking place after an individual who was under the influence was driving their car along New Center Drive, crashed into an above-ground gas main or some sort of above-ground gas line. And then after law enforcement, first responders, including the Wilmington Fire Department, arrived on scene, something ignited the gas that was leaking into the air, causing that massive building explosion. Over the last couple of hours, we have learned additional information about said individual. 46-year-old Jason Lee Beach of Wilmington has been charged with DWI, felony serious injury, possession of drug paraphernalia, hit and run leaving the scene, reckless driving, and failure to maintain lane. He is currently being held under a $100,000 secure bond at the New Hanover County Detention Center. Authorities say that his car, at least allegedly at this point, hit the new home, or the said-to-be new home, of the Eastern Carolina Veterinary Referral Clinic, which is at 5051 New Center Drive. That his car going off the road hit a gas line, ruptured it around 11:30 yesterday morning. And as law enforcement was on scene, as law enforcement and first responders, including those, as I mentioned, members of the Wilmington Fire Department, as they were there to conduct evacuations, they were trying to secure and make sure that the that there was nobody in the building, you know, doing exactly what you would expect first responders to do: secure the scene and make things as safe as possible for the individuals around the area. Well, they were on scene conducting a sweep of that building when, well, unfortunately, exactly what you saw in that video happened. That was, in fact, the building exploding, causing the causing that massive fireball explosion and injuring some members of the Wilmington Fire Department. Reports this morning indicate that four fire department officials were hurt in the blast, three of them dealing with some minor injuries, one more dealing with not life-threatening, but some very severe burns. That individual rushed to the Chapel Hill Burn Center up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with some of those extensive burns reportedly to the hands and arm area of that firefighter. We don't know their name. We don't even know whether it was a man or woman. We just know, in fact, it was an individual who is a member of the Wilmington Fire Department. A press briefing took place yesterday morning, or yesterday afternoon is probably more accurate to say, kind of going over some of those details. I thought we'd listen to a few minutes of that from members of the Wilmington Fire Department and the Wilmington Police Department. Let's take a listen.
There had been an accident where a vehicle struck gas meter. So we were out here investigating, doing a primary search of the building to make sure that everyone was out of the building when there was an explosion. There were no civilians inside, only fire personnel. Upon the flames showing obviously through the roof, and so we evacuated the building. Three firefighters were injured during that explosion and evacuation. They have since been taken to the hospital, two with non-life-threatening injuries and one with severe injuries to the hands, burn injuries to the hands and arms.
When you first arrived on the scene, what went through your head with all this debris and just everything out there?
Obviously, it's scary, but this is what we train for every day, and so they just kick into gear, right? And they know what they got to do, and they're here. We're here to make sure that the job gets done.
Forgive me if this is asked, but how do you feel that your firefighters, your team,
responded
in this matter? Did they do a
good job? Absolutely. We train every day to make sure that we're ready for something at this level, and so absolutely, they did a great job.
And no question about it, they did do a great job. The men and women of the Wilmington Police Department, the Wilmington Fire Department, doing exactly what they are trained to do. It doesn't happen, of course, very often that you've got a massive gas leak that leads to a huge building explosion, which did make national and international news throughout the day yesterday, based on the fact of, and you can kind of see it behind the representatives here from WPD and WFD, New Center Drive completely littered with debris from that massive fireball, that massive explosion that happened on New Center Drive. The road there closed for well over 6 hours as crews not only fought to try and then contain the fire that broke out, but of course working to secure the scene, getting that debris cleaned off of the road to make it safe for individuals to begin traveling once again. Now, this was an earlier press conference. This happened in the early afternoon hours, and at the time, there were reportedly three members of WFD injured. That number then later on rose to four, but the numbers are, as I mentioned earlier, three with minor injuries. Reports are they have been released, one with some severe injuries, apparently at the Chapel Hill Burn Center this morning, trying to deal with some of those extensive burns, which, I mean, makes sense when you see the video. Members of WFD apparently inside the building when that explosion took place. What caused that ignition? Not immediately clear this morning. You can imagine that the fire marshal and fire inspectors and other folks that are going to be brought in over the next couple of days and weeks will try and figure out what was the spark that ignited the explosion that, from all accounts, completely destroyed that soon-to-be open building. Thank God it was not open. I mean, you talk about it was already and was and continues to be a tragic situation with a building set to open. But with that, it could have been unbelievably worse had there been a full operational occupancy of that building. This is a video and picture from WECT News. Really paints the full picture. From the road, it looks like the building is in all right shape. Their drone was up yesterday, and it shows the full extent, the full magnitude of the damage on this building, which really you can only describe at this point as a complete and total loss. That building is going to have to be demolished and rebuilt. I can't see any fathomable way in which any sort of repairs are done to that building. It is definitely going to have to be torn down and rebuilt. And you can see the extensive damage from the explosion itself. And then, of course, hundreds, if not thousands, of gallons of water being sprayed on the structure to try and get the fire under control. So that shows a complete and total loss. But fortunately, no individuals from the veterinary referral clinic or medical center were on there, and none of their contractors who are, of course, working on getting the building up to date and getting the building ready for opening, which was supposed to happen in September, literally just a couple of weeks away. None of them were injured. None of them were on scene. I don't know if they were on scene, but nobody was injured, fortunately, from the company. As I mentioned, a couple WFD firefighters dealing with some injuries this morning. According to arrest warrants obtained by WECT News, Jason Beach, the individual who did that and then ran his car into the gas main and then attempted to get away, injured one person's head and hands in the accident, causing broken bones. Police reportedly found a can of Galaxy gas, which is nitrous. That's a popular thing that is now roaming around the internet, TikTok trends and other social media trends of individuals getting high on nitrous. That was apparently found in the car. He was located near the intersection of 31st and Market, according to a WPD spokesperson. Fortunately, New Center Drive was reopened around 6 p.m. yesterday as police and fire crews spent the afternoon cleaning up debris from the explosion before leaving the scene when the road was reopened. WPD again noted some of the issues there with the members of their team. The Wilmington Fire Chief Steve Mason told WECT News that two explosions happened inside the building. The cause of the second explosion is under investigation. Telling WECT, quote, "We heard the Mayday call come in, and those are the worst words a fire chief can hear. Firefighters saw an initial explosion and a bigger explosion, according to the firefighters who were inside. Those rescue and first responder crews were working to evacuate the building when that second explosion went off." And it would appear that that second explosion was that larger one that caused the roof of that building to soar hundreds of feet into the air. The veterinary clinic's administrator, Gary Walker, said that he was in complete and total shock, saying, "We were just a few weeks away from our grand opening." That was supposed to happen next month. The shake of that explosion felt far and wide across Midtown Wilmington, and the pictures and videos of this show after that, you can see the debris here, plummeting down to the ground, all the roofing, all the insulation from the top of that structure pelting down on the next door properties. This is a photo taken by a Joel Wartell out of the parking lot of Bob King Buick GMC, which is right next door to them on New Center Drive. A picture that he also made available to the Carolina Journal shows heavy, thick black smoke billowing from that building after the initial explosion. As you can imagine, after the explosion, then there was a massive fire that broke out. No surprise there as the building continued to burn for a couple of hours. A wild scene, a wild situation unfolding in Wilmington. The city council did have a meeting last night, and Mayor Bill Saffo opened the meeting talking about the event. This is what the mayor had to say.
Before we begin the meeting, I would also like to share what we saw today at New Center Drive was unbelievable. Our public safety personnel, especially our firefighters, the men and women of the Wilmington Fire Department, our police department, New Hanover County Fire Department that backed up our police department to take calls while we had our personnel out there putting out this horrendous fire and explosion that took place. I just want to say on behalf of the citizens of Wilmington and this city council, I want to thank them for their professionalism, for their heroism, and for the way they took care of that situation out there. It was unbelievable. I don't know if a lot of you know this, but there were several firefighters that were in the building when the explosion took place. Four of those firefighters were injured. One had to be taken to the Chapel Hill Burn Center. And our thoughts and prayers are with those individuals, those firefighters and their families tonight. But again, I just want to say on behalf of the citizens how proud I am of our departments and what they were able to do today. This is what these men and women train for. This is what they do day in and day out to protect each and every one of us. And we thank them for their public service to this community and for the lives that they saved and for the heroism of going into that building knowing that that place may explode. And to see what happened in the aftermath is just, it's a tremendous honor to see those folks just coming together and working together to really take care of the situation for our community. And I just, again, want to thank them for their outstanding service to our community.
That's our Wilmington Mayor Bill Saffo at an already pre-scheduled Wilmington City Council meeting last night. They already had their regular Tuesday meeting scheduled. Those are some of the opening comments. Councilman Luke Waddell also having a few words to pass along to members of our first responders here in southeastern North Carolina.
Just quickly to reiterate the comments that you made at the start of the meeting, how blessed and honored and I am to see the men and women of the Wilmington Fire Department and the display that they put on today, and wish my well wishes to the gentlemen who were harmed, and thank you to those who put themselves in harm's way for us every day.
Thank you.
There you go, echoing the comments there from Mayor Bill Saffo with the brave, again, men and women. And you know, this goes back to an unfortunate trend that we have seen over the last couple of years. It's died down a little bit because those on the political left have truly come to the realization as to how unpopular it is. But it was just a couple of years ago that first responders, members of law enforcement, fire, were being chanted at and harassed, and yet folks running around the streets of municipalities and cities all throughout the United States talking about how much they hated law enforcement and how first responders and police and everybody else needed to be defunded. And of course, when that originally started, that was incredibly ridiculous. And as we go through time, we see example after example after example of individuals in the first responder that are first responders, that are responsible with keeping a community safe, that are tasked with going into an incredibly dangerous situation, a major gas leak taking place, with the risk, with the possibility of an explosion, which is unfortunately exactly what happened. And it's really disheartening, and it really goes to show you the unfortunate nature of those that thought that it was a good idea to defund first responders, defund law enforcement. Had first responders not been on the scene yesterday to secure a perimeter, had they not been on the scene to attempt to evacuate the building and clear the area, and individuals were walking around the building. This is a very popular area, a very busy area of the city of Wilmington. I mean, there's so much traffic on New Center Drive. There's businesses all over the place. You've got a public car dealership with presumably people roaming the parking lot, sales representatives, individuals buying cars, all of that right next door. If law enforcement and first responders had not been on scene to clear that, you could have had potentially multiple fatalities with people hanging around the building. But it was first responders that did exactly what you would expect them to do: show up, be on the front lines, and deal with this active, dynamic, and as we now know, very dangerous situation that unfolded. This whole concept, this whole idea of defunding law enforcement and taking away their resources has always been an incredibly stupid, short-sighted, ridiculous political stance by those on the progressive left. And once again yesterday in our community, we saw the benefit, the true responsibility of those that aren't doing this voluntarily, right? They are choosing to put their lives potentially at risk. They are choosing to go to work each and every day knowing that there's a possibility of something like this taking place, right? Firefighters day in and day out run into burning buildings, houses, and businesses, and rescue individuals, put out flames, and put themselves in an incredible amount of risk. They do that each and every day. And of course, for some of those on the political left that thought, we just need to defund them, that's a good solution. That will bring a solve to any sort of societal woes we deal with. We understand how stupid and ridiculous those comments have always been, and how ridiculous the concept is at face value. Thanks to the great men and women of the Wilmington Fire Department, the Wilmington Police Department, those in New Hanover County, the Sheriff and Fire Department as well, that provided some level of backup for those that were on the scene trying to deal with this situation. We'll likely learn some more details in the coming days, again, on the individual who is in custody this morning. 46-year-old Jason Beach of Wilmington was probably, from all accounts, high on nitrous gas, galaxy gas, at the time when he crashed his car off New Center Drive and led to this horrific situation unfolding yesterday. We'll continue to track the details, and as soon as we get any more about what caused the explosion or Jason Beach, we'll pass it along to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. We've got some more to get into this morning, including some additional details on law enforcement here across our community. Before that, however, I do want to thank the good folks over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. I used the Law Group a little over 5 years ago when I went through my real estate transaction purchasing my house. Great experience, great group of folks over there. Reach out to the Law Group, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com, and we appreciate their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. In some other news locally this morning, we are set to get a brand new chief of police. This has been a long time coming for southeastern North Carolina and the city of Wilmington. Former Chief Donnie Williams announcing his retirement earlier this year. He officially resigned that position back on June the 27th. Since then, the former chief of the of police and chief evangelist has come in a temporary position to run the police department. We heard from him back just a couple of weeks ago as a discussion on homelessness and crime took place at the city council meeting. You heard some of those very hardline stances and very to the fact, matter of fact stances from Chief Evangelist, as he has spent well over 30 years with the Wilmington Police Department. However, that was an interim position. Chief Evangelist retired from the department back a couple of years ago, and we are fortunate that he was able to come back in and serve in that interim capacity, but he was never going to lead that department, never lead the agency long term. And well, at last night's Wilmington City Council meeting, Mayor Bill Saffo and the council announced and voted on the new chief of police. Take a listen.
The city of Wilmington in the last several months has gone through a pretty rigorous an exhaustive process in looking for a new police chief. We haven't gone outside of the city since Chief Evangelist was first brought here in 2004. Obviously, Chief Williams was promoted from within, so the council made a decision to move out and take a look around the country to see what's out there that we were interested in looking at. And we contracted out with a great firm called Perf that had also done the evaluation and the search for when Chief Evangelist was brought here in 2004, and came up with some very good candidates that came from across the nation, big cities, mid-sized cities. It was an exhaustive search. And council had worked diligently, did their homework, asked a lot of good questions, a lot of tough questions, and we settled on one individual who is here with us this evening. And I'm going to read the resolution, and he's here with his wife, and I'm going to introduce him in just a second. But this is introduced by the City Council, a resolution to appoint Ryan M. Zudema as Chief of Police. Legislative intent and purpose, whereas pursuant to Article 11, Section 11.4 of the City Charter, City Council is vested with the authority to appoint the Chief of Police. And whereas after a thorough recruitment and selection process, the City Council has determined that Ryan M. Zudema possesses the qualification and experience necessary to effectively serve as Chief of Police to lead the Wilmington Police Department with integrity and commitment to this community. Therefore, be it resolved that Ryan M. Zudema is hereby appointed to the position of Chief of Police for the City of Wilmington. That pursuant to Chapter 9, Article 1, Section 9-1 of the City Charter, the Chief of Police shall be under the immediate supervision of the City Manager and shall be the Chief Executive Officer of the Wilmington Police Department, that the effective date of this appointment shall be September 22nd, 2025. So I will ask for an approval of this resolution. Councilmember Waddell has made the motion, second by Councilmember Joyner. Any further discussion? All in favor of that motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That item passes unanimously.
And it did, in fact, pass unanimously, as you heard there from Mayor Bill Saffo. Ryan Zudema will be the brand new chief of police for the city of Wilmington. He is currently serving as the chief of police in Lynchburg, Virginia. He has been an officer with the Lynchburg Police Department since 1997. Almost 30 years with that department. He now is bringing his experience and bringing his expertise to southeastern North Carolina, to the city of Wilmington. The new chief of police was introduced last night at the city council meeting. He had just a few comments to make and in response to the unanimous vote of his appointment and him taking on this position.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Pro Tem, members of council, truly an honor to be in front of you. I want to thank you for your trust and your confidence through this process in naming me your next chief of police. I certainly look forward to working with, I know several in here tonight, the men and women of the Wilmington Police Department. I've heard nothing but great things about all of them, and I know they're a great bunch of folks. I look forward to working alongside them. As well, I look forward to working with city staff and all of you. I don't lead by just running one department, as I told all of you. It takes all of us working together as city leaders and different departments to make this city successful. Look forward to meeting this great community. I had an opportunity to travel here several times and look around, and look forward to meeting everyone here and building those strong and lasting partnerships with them as well. I've had an opportunity to have some great conversations with our city manager, Ms. Hawk. I think we've already had some great discussions on different topics. Look forward to working under your leadership as well. Thank you. And had a few brief moments in the back to talk to Chief Evangelist. And I know he brings a wealth of knowledge about both this community and this department. And I'm going to spend a lot of time with him until he gets sick of me talking to him, probably. Learn as much as I can from him. I just want to close by saying certainly thankful, as you mentioned, for our brothers in the fire department. It could have been a lot worse today. My thoughts and prayers are with all of them, and I hope they recover quickly for those that were injured. Again, just thank you for your trust. I can't wait to get started here in Wilmington.
And in fact, he will get started about a month from now. He will begin his official role as the chief of the Wilmington Police Department coming up on September the 22nd, so a little over a month from now, where that is set to take place. And for Chief Zudema, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is going on here in the city of Wilmington, a lot of issues that have continued to plague the community. One of them is the homeless discussion. There was about a 2.5-hour meeting that the city council had earlier this week. We'll dive into those details coming up tomorrow morning, expecting some sort of vote or some sort of resolution on the continued issue, which is exactly that of public safety. Expecting that to take place at an early September meeting for the Wilmington City Council. So before the chief officially begins his role coming up on September the 22nd. So that is definitely going to be something that the chief is going to have to deal with. Morale has been a major problem within the Wilmington Police Department. Under the leadership of previous Chief Donnie Williams, morale was down. Officers did not feel comfortable in their position as sworn members of law enforcement. The atmosphere within the department was not good. That's not my thoughts. That's not my opinion on it. That is according to a study that you, the taxpayers in the city of Wilmington, paid for, a private firm. Checking in on the morale, checking in on the atmosphere within the Wilmington Police Department, finding some very troubling results. Of course, on top of that, Chief Williams did not have a great relationship with the community through the media. He regularly blackballed media, would not do interviews with a variety of media outlets across our community. It just created a really, from all accounts, a relatively hostile work environment for not only the officers, but for the community as a whole. And we know for certain, when you look at law enforcement, when you look at, obviously the goal of law enforcement is to protect and serve, but one of the ways that you protect and serve is by having a trustworthy and good relationship with your community. If the people that you represent do not trust you, if they do not have confidence in you, if they do not believe that you are doing good work, it makes it incredibly hard for those brave men and women of the Wilmington Police Department to do their job. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If there's a general distrust of law enforcement, If they don't believe that the members of the community, if they don't believe that law enforcement has their best interests, that creates a big problem. And unfortunately, we found out earlier this year that a vast majority of the officers within the department have significant issues with the agency. The North Carolina Police Benevolent Association, a police advocacy group, oversaw the survey, which included 115 members, which is about half of the department, and it revealed significant dissatisfaction with the state of the department and city leadership. In a question asking if respondents would recommend WPD, that's the Wilmington Police Department, as a, quote, good place to work, 93% said no. Out of 115 officers, 93% said no. Nearly 80% said that they weren't satisfied with the agency's morale, and over 70% say they'd rate the department's work environment as poor. That is an abysmal disaster. And it really starts at the top. That is the legacy of Chief Donnie Williams. And of course, at the time when this was released back in April of this year, through a spokesperson, Wilmington Police Chief Donnie Williams declined to comment on the survey, which is what his tenure is, running from the media and running from the community, not answering questions and not being the public face of law enforcement, which you need, not only for the public standpoint, but for the morale of your officers. Results of the survey also indicated some other issues within the city as well. One of them dealing with short staffing. No surprise there when you've got 93% of your respondents, over 100 people, saying that the morale and the noting that it is not, in fact, a good place to work. It's no surprise. It's no shock that there's a shortage of those that want to put on the badge and become members of the Wilmington Police Department. And so it's a multitude of issues existing within the agency. Other issues taking place, including a lawsuit back late last year, taking place to complaints of a hostile work environment. The other discussions of how the chief, that being Chief Williams, created a, quote, toxic department environment that caused the city council to spend $75,000 with a third party investigating and finding that those claims were in fact substantiated of that environment. Here's another huge problem within the agency. This, again, was back in April. One of the questions in the survey found that 86% of respondents either strongly agreed or agreed that Chief Williams created a racial divide at the agency. Over 76% of survey respondents identified as white, just five total as black. However, race did not have a bearing on the issues and the response, according to the North Carolina PBA. 86% of respondents said that the chief of police created a racial divide at the agency. How is that something that is acceptable? The answer is it's not. The pressure was being turned up on Chief Williams. Back in October of last year, the PBA met with Mayor Bill Sappho and Councilman Luke Waddell for over 90 minutes discussing the issues, and it's no surprise that earlier this year, Chief Williams announced his retirement from the agency, because in all likelihood, he was probably not far away from losing his job. Not because I believe Donnie Williams is a bad guy, not because I even think he's a bad cop, but because his ability to lead the department was obviously lacking. When over 90% of your officers in the survey, and again, 115 people, this is not a small sample size. It's over half or about half of those employed at WPD. When over 90% say that it's a bad place to work, when 86% say that the chief is causing a racial divide in the agency, that is completely unsustainable, completely unpractical long term. And so as we look at the new chief of police being announced, these are some of the issues that he is going to have to deal with. He has got to win back the trust and the faith of the brave men and women of the Wilmington Police Department. And that is going to be a significant job that Chief Zudema is going to have to deal with. Again, no fault of his own. He's walking into this, and I'll admit, knowingly walking into this situation. He's got a lot of work that's going to have to be done. Fortunately, and my hope is that in Chief Evangelist's leadership over the last couple of months, some level of that morale has been restored, that he has been able to maybe calm down some of the anxiety that exists within the Wilmington Police Department, the toxic work environment created by former Chief of Police Donnie Williams. So hopefully it's something that is already trending downwards, and Chief Zudema, when he comes into the position late next month, it's something that, yes, he will continue to have to work on. Yes, something that is going to be an issue for him. Hopefully it's not at the elevated levels that it was back in April of this year when Chief Williams was still running the day-to-day over at the Wilmington Police Department. So congratulations to him. He starts next month, already beginning the process of reaching out and seeing if we can't schedule an interview with the Chief of Police to talk about some of these issues, talk about, you know, homelessness and crime that exists within the city of Wilmington, a major topic of discussion over the last couple of months. Look forward to seeing what he brings from the Lynchburg Police Department down here to Wilmington. He's got a long service in law enforcement, almost 30 years, started up in Virginia in 1997, and he has been the chief of police there since 2018. We'll continue to watch these details. We'll hear from the chief at city council meetings, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to chat with him coming up right here on the Nick Craig Show. Congratulations to Chief Zudema. A lot of work to be done. Of course, wishing for his success and hoping everything goes well with his transition into the chief of police here in the city of Wilmington. In some other news that we are tracking this morning, Hurricane Erin continues to be a monster of a storm system as it inches ever closer to the continental United States. You're looking at a IR satellite this morning, and the current track or the current progress and current statistics for the storm showing movement north-northwest at 13 miles an hour. The pressure currently sitting at 954 millibars, with the storm's maximum sustained winds currently being 100 miles per hour. The storm right now is a Category 2 hurricane. I'll admit, a low-end Category 2 hurricane with those winds at 100 miles an hour. However, the impacts from this storm are already being felt across the state of North Carolina, where yesterday Governor Josh Stein did declare a state of emergency in anticipation of the storm. Taking a look at the watches and warnings out from the National Hurricane Center this morning, you can see the vast majority of the Outer Banks dealing with tropical storm warnings this morning due to what is expected to be some heavy rain and winds, and of course the big risk that elevated surf, waves 15 to 20 feet, potentially flooding some of the connecting roadways, Highway 12 in the Outer Banks, which is really the only road, the main connector there, that has prompted local states of emergencies for both Hyde and Dare counties, and those mandatory evacuations taking place over the last couple of days. Zooming in, you can see all the way from the Albemarle Sound down to the Pamlico, down to the Crystal Coast is where these tropical storm warnings are in effect. Looking down at our area in Wilmington, no tropical storm watches or warnings as the storm is likely to pass a couple of hundred miles off the North Carolina coast. However, we are continuing to deal with that elevated risk of rip currents. Looking at the track this morning, fortunately, it does continue in this north-northeast movement, splitting the gap between the United States and Bermuda, where there is a tropical storm watch in effect for Bermuda. However, beach erosion and high risk of rip currents does continue to persist pretty much all along the eastern seaboard. This morning, you've got beaches all the way from Florida up to New Jersey that are waving their red flags and encouraging individuals not to get into the water due to that elevated risk of rip currents. Earlier this week, over at Wrightsville Beach, more than 70 rescues, ocean water rescues taking place since then. The town of Wrightsville Beach has put in an advisory, a no swim advisory that is expected to last through Friday as this storm continues to trek closer to North Carolina. It will continue to be a hurricane. You can see the track splitting that gap. It will be in our area, at least the closest it's going to get to our area, throughout the latter parts of today and in the overnight hours and through the good chunk of your day on Thursday. So we'll continue to watch the track on the storm, continue to track its statistics and see exactly what we are expecting here across southeastern North Carolina. A very slight possibility of some wind and rain. It does not appear super likely. And one of the charts that is made available from the National Hurricane Center shows what some of the winds could look like. This is the chart. This is the possibility of tropical storm force winds, which are those over 39 miles an hour. And you can see the little sliver down here in Wilmington. Let me see if I can zoom in on this so we can really take a look at it. Looking in down here on southeastern North Carolina, just a 5% chance of that taking place. So very, and I'll say relatively low risk of having any major wind or rain as a result of this storm. Those rip current risks and beach erosion will be the major threats. However, for those in the Outer Banks, well, things are a little bit more dicey. No direct impact, no direct hit. The governor in Josh Stein is stated to address the media and the state as a whole coming up a little bit after 10 o'clock this morning. With that announcement of a state of emergency taking place, I'll be watching that throughout the day today. And if there is any relevant information or details to pass along, we'll dive into that tomorrow morning. Plus, we'll be able to track the storm live as it gets closer to the North Carolina coast. So that is what we are tracking with Aaron. And not to put the cart too ahead of the horse this morning, there are a couple of other areas that the National Hurricane Center is eyeing for the possibility of some tropical development. A wave continuing to move its way eastward or westward this morning has a 60% chance of development within the next 7 days. That area shows the possibility and the potential for a risk towards Bermuda, and then a new wave just off the African coast with a 30% chance of a tropical development. That is Invest 99 way out there in the eastern Atlantic right now. Effects from this, if it is to form, would be at least 2 or 3 weeks away right now. But it is the active time of the Atlantic hurricane season as we head into the latter parts of August, the beginning of September. That is when the tropics are the most active. And we are, in fact, seeing that play out in real time. Aaron continuing to churn. Two more areas of interest being watched by the National Hurricane Center. We'll keep you up to date with everything as we continue through the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season right here on the Nick Craig Show. I want to remind folks that if you are interested in supporting the program and getting access to bonus content, including our daily show notes, you can head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can get access to those for just as little as $5 or $10 a month. One of the other perks includes our monthly hangouts. We jump on a Zoom call for a couple of hours the last week of the month. That'll be coming up next week. Chat about all of the news, all of the political issues of the day. Have a great roundtable discussion. So you still have got some time to get in on our next hangout. That'll be happening next week. That announcement going out to our Patreon members coming up here in the next couple of days. All of that available at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Thanks for joining us live this morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcast. We're back here tomorrow morning for the Nick Craig Show.